again that we can gather together in your name and rejoice in your forgiveness and grace. God, we thank you for the fact that we can see you, that you are available to us. We see you in your word. We see you in the scriptures. We see you in the example of Jesus Christ. We see you through your Holy Spirit. God, I pray that others would be able to see you in us, that our kids would be able to see you in us as fathers and mothers. And Lord, we ask that you might reveal yourself to us even now, so that we might be blessed, so that we might be enriched, so that we might rejoice in what you would show us. Lord, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for today. And we thank you in Jesus' name for what is to come. And all God's people say, amen. You may be seated. I want to invite you to turn with me, please, in your Bibles. Turn me up just a smidge, Devin. Y'all may not be thinking that. I can't hear myself very well. Turn with me, please, in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2. We've been taking a look this month at Philippians chapter 2 in preparation to send this group to Charleston tomorrow, in preparation to send this group to Puerto Rico just 7 days from now. They're going to depart from Cornerstone about 2 a.m. Next Sunday morning, late Saturday night, however it is you want to look at it. Regardless of which, we're in preparation for that. We're in preparation for Triangle Kids Camp. We're doing this in preparation for Vacation Bible School. We're doing this in preparation for our new church here right around the corner. We're doing it in preparation for all that we exist to be, all that we exist to do, and it's also in preparation to be the best mothers and fathers, the best neighbors and workers, the best Christians that we can possibly be. And I want to pick up today where we left off last week with three verses, verses 16 through 18, because we finished up at the end of verse 15 last week, and we'll start there in the middle of that paragraph in verse 16. And Paul writes to the church in Philippi, the Christians in Philippi, the Philippians, and says, as you hold out the word of life, in order that I may boast on the day of Christ, that I did not run or labor for nothing, but even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me. What we see in these three verses is the results of something. Wes talked about the consequences. I didn't know what he was going to talk about this morning. He didn't know what I was going to talk about this morning. But what we see in this part of a paragraph is the consequences or the results of something Paul says that he will be able to boast on the day of Christ. That's a consequence of something that he'll be able to boast at that time. He said, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. That's the results or the consequences of something. He says, so you too should be glad and rejoice with me. That's the results and the consequences of something. So to put it in proper context, so that we understand what he's talking about, let's go back and pick up at the beginning of chapter 2 and read God's Word, what it says to us there. Let's find out what it is that this is a result of that Paul is talking about. Beginning in verse 1 of chapter 2 of Philippians, it says, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, any comfort from His love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to His good purpose. Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault, in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like the stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life, in order that I may boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor for nothing. But even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me. You see, as you read the part before that, you take the paragraph in context, we see that the Scripture is encouraging us to do something that results or consequences to all this rejoicing, and it is to have a submissive mind to God. It is to have a mind that is submissive to God, a mind that is submissive to service, a mind that is submissive to selflessness, a mind that is submissive to the good of other people, a mind that is submissive to the glory of God because He earned it. Not that He needed to do something to earn it, not that He had to prove Himself. He just is worthy, amen? He just is. I'm going to point out a couple of things that the world's got all wrong this morning. A couple of things that has a tendency to create in our mind misguided thinking. And if we're not careful, we'll get sucked into that pattern. We're talking about having a submissive mind to what God has for us, okay? The world sees the word submissive as something that should be regarded as lowly, as undesirable, as something submissive. That's just not appealing at all. We see submissive as somebody who's that way, thinks very little of themselves, or thinks poorly of themselves, or thinks lowly of themselves, when in actuality the submissive mind doesn't think of itself at all. It thinks of God and it thinks of others. The submissive mind, listen to me very carefully, follows a pattern of thinking that asks one simple question over and over and over again. And here it is. God, what do you want me to do? And then does it. Now, if I may plug something briefly for a moment. For those of you who are in the church membership, the nominating committee is in full force as of this week and over the next few days. Some of them are going to be coming to you having prayerfully considered some things. They're going to ask you a question. Would you be willing to serve or help with X, Y, or Z? At which point the submissive mind, which by the way results in blessing, we'll come to that a little bit later, asks a simple question at that point. God, what do you want me to do? And then does it. See, when we know what God wants us to do, and then we go and we do it, that's when we really start growing. That's when it really starts to take hold and starts to happen. So being submissive is not negative at all, you see. But here's the thing. Here's the thing about the submissive mind. What this passage, what verses 16 through 18 tells. Let me tell you something about the submissive mind. Says God's Word. There is joy that comes with it. There is joy that comes with a submissive mind to God. If we're to have a submissive mind, and therefore the result and the joy that comes with it, we must recognize, and I'm going to quote Dr. Warren Wiersbe here for a second, that first of all, there is a purpose to achieve. There is a purpose in who we are. There is a purpose. There's God's plan for our lives. There's God's purpose and plan for our church. There's God's purpose and plan for these mission trips. We go to Charleston tomorrow. There's God's plan. There's a purpose in that. What is it? God, what do you want me to do? We go to Puerto Rico a week from now. There's a purpose in that. All right? And we can get misguided as to what that purpose is. We need to be asking God what it is for you. All right? There is a purpose and a plan to Vacation Bible School coming up in a month now. It's a month from right about now. There's a purpose and a plan to that. Not only that, but there's a power to receive. If we're submissive to the plan of God, if we're submissive in mind to God and what He wants, there's a power to receive. The Holy Spirit comes on you, comes on your life, and empowers you in ways that you cannot have otherwise. Listen to me very carefully. The Holy Spirit of God is able to accomplish and bless and glorify and do more than you can ever imagine, and will do more in you and in your life than you can possibly ever manage without Him. And the only way that you're going to have that power poured out on your life is with a mind and a heart that is submitted to God and His will. Do you understand? If we are not submissive in mind, then we are missing out on that power. And finally, there's a promise to believe. There's a purpose to achieve. There's a power to receive. And there is a promise to believe. That promise is, if you'll do this, if you'll have that measure of faith and you'll do this, there is a blessing on the other side of it. There is glory on the other side of it. There's something really good, and you'll be glad that you did submit in mindset to God. But let's take just a little bit further look at God's promise in God's Word, the joy that comes from submission. The second thing that the world gets all wrong is misguides our thinking on is the world's philosophy on joy that we would receive, any kind of joy that you can possibly get. The world's philosophy is, listen to me, that joy comes from aggression. Okay? Joy comes from aggression. The world tells you that you've got to fight to get what you want. Fight anybody you need to fight to get what you want. And the world says, do whatever you have to do that's necessary, and if you fight hard enough and you fight well enough to get what you want, then you'll get it and you'll be happy. That's what the world tells you. Now, I want to tell you something. If you don't hear anything else this morning, listen to me, hear this part right here. The world is wrong. Dead wrong on that. This is hard. That's way against the grain, folks. That is dead wrong. Dead wrong. We only need one example to prove it, and that is the extreme, supreme example of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ never used His might or power to get anything, though He had endless supply of it, did He not? He was limitless in might and power. He never used it to get anything. He never used a single weapon, whether it be a sword or a dagger. He never used a single weapon, yet He won the greatest battle that there ever was, the biggest battle of all time, and that is the battle over sin and death and hell. And He didn't use a single weapon to do it. It was through submitting to the will of the Father that Jesus won. And that so much glory has come from it. It is only by the power of God that in 2013, with Xbox 4 or PlayStation 6, 125 channels of high-density television cable, and super-fast internet, that you can get a dozen middle school students to go to Charleston, South Carolina and do mission work out in the 100-degree heat. That is God. Can I tell you that this morning? That is God. That is the result of what Jesus did for them. He submitted to the Father. One of my favorite scriptures. I need this scripture. I go back to it time and time again because it is the greatest example I've ever seen. We know that Jesus was about to be arrested. He was in the Garden of Gethsemane. In Matthew chapter 26 and verse 39, Jesus was praying to His Father. It said He would go along a little further. He fell to His face on the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from Me." Here's a good part. "Yet, not as I will, but as You will," He told His Father. "Not what I want, but what You want. Let that be our guide in everything." For there's joy that comes from it. Jesus defeated truth, or defeated lies with the truth, not extra effort. He defeated hatred with love, not force. He was victorious because He surrendered Himself. And that is our example to follow. We have to trust His promise. Luke chapter 14 and verse 11, He said, "For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled. And all those who humble themselves will be exalted." That's a promise coming from the man, the God, who died for you and proved Himself worthy by raising from the grave. This passage, verses 16 through 18, shows us two promises, two kinds of joy that comes from a mind that is submitted to God, the submissive mind to God. The first one is the joy that is to come down the road. Verse 16, Paul is writing, he said, "As you hold out the word of life in order that I may boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor for nothing." He says, "You hold out the word of life in order that I may boast on the day of Christ." And when the day of Christ comes, I'll be able to boast. I'll be able to say, "Look what happened. Praise God. The day is coming when I will rejoice in what has come from all this." When we see our Jesus, we'll be able to boast. When we see our Jesus, we'll be able to rejoice in the life that we've lived because we were submissive to God. There is a joy to come when we finally see Him and we embrace Him in person and He wraps His arms around us and He says, "Well done, good and faithful servant." I'm going to rejoice when that happens. Amen. Y'all wake. I'm going to rejoice when that happens. He's going to say, "You were good to others because of Me. Not because they were good to you, but just because of Me, you thought of others. Oh, well done." Oh, that He would say, "You ran the race in such a way as to win the prize. You gave your very best." That joy is to come on the day of Christ. And I anxiously await it. And I hope you do too. But there's a second kind of joy. And this is the part we miss out on. Listen very carefully. It is not just the joy that is to come, but it is the joy for the submissive mind, the resulting joy that comes right now. Right now. You don't have to wait. Verses 17 and 18, listen to what Paul says. He says, "But even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I'm glad and rejoice with all of you. So you too should be glad and rejoice with Me." Okay? We see awesome God-powered, God-glorifying results from the submissive mind right now, if we're willing to do it. Now let me draw the word picture and help you understand what he's saying there, okay? He says, "Even if I am poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I'll be glad and rejoice." Okay, I want you to imagine, and we studied this just recently on Wednesday night. We were talking about the drink offering just this past Wednesday night. And if you'll imagine in the temple there where they did the sacrifices, there's a big altar, all right? Maybe a big stone cube or table of sorts, and it's huge, maybe about 4 foot square or something like that. And they would bring the animal, whether it be the lamb or the goat or the bull or whatever the case may be, and they would put it on that altar and they would sacrifice it. They would kill it. They would burn it even, all right? And then the Bible prescribes, and if you go back into Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy, you'll find that there's several different kinds of offerings, not just the animal offering, but also one that's called a drink offering. And they would take that water or that wine, whichever the case may be, which was also very precious. We live in a dry part of the world, and wine is very precious too. And they would take a big cup of that, and they would pour that out on the offering too, off the altar, the offering altar as well, okay? They would pour that out on top of it, because God had also provided that. and it was given to him. Here's what Paul is saying. As he sits in a prison in Rome, writing this letter to the church in Philippi, even if I am poured out like a drink offering, even if I am left in a position where my awaiting trial doesn't go the way we would want, and I'm sentenced and I'm executed because of what I believe and what I told you and what I showed you and my faith in my God, even if all that ends in me being sent to the guillotine, what I see in you, what I see in my church in Philippi, what I see in my brothers and sisters and your growth and your following God and your glorifying Him with your life, it's worth it. I've already received joy out of what I've seen. I've got it right now. It's awesome. There's a purpose to who I am. There's a purpose what I've done. Y'all follow me on that. Fathers, listen very carefully. Paul says, no matter what happens, what I've already done for you and in you, and what I see in you as the father of this church, as the spiritual leader of this congregation, as the shepherd of this flock, he says to them, what I see in you makes it all worth it. No matter what happens to me, I'm already blessed. I want you to ask yourself as you sit in the pew this morning, can I say that about my own family? Has what I've given them, has what I've done for them, is what I see coming from them a blessing to me in God? I want you to ask yourself this morning, because the world says, you better make sure you take them to church maybe. Right, and you'll see the glory for that in the day that is to come. But there's some other things you got to do so that you'll see joy now. And that's get some money and get that job and get this sort of thing done and go do that and all this sort of thing. If you're going to have any joy right now, you got to do some things that's maybe a little counteractive to that. That's what the world's telling you, dads. I want to tell you that the Bible says that's not true. The Bible says if you will submit your mind and your heart and your home and your marriage and your family and your kids to the Lord, then He will bless you now. Is the promotion going to be something to rejoice about on the day of Christ? Is the IRA going to be something to rejoice in the day of the Lord? It's getting them into college and through it, going to be what you rejoice about on the day of the Lord. You sell out for so many things. Paul says, because I gave my all to the Lord, what I see happening in you right now is all the joy, all the blessing that I could ask for. That's something we ought to strive for, Father. That's something we ought to really, really, really claim the promise on. I'll do what God would have me to do, and He'll bless me and my family in visible and noticeable ways now. Don't forget. And he says, I rejoice in it. I rejoice in it. He goes on to say in verse 18, he says, so you too should be glad and rejoice with me. You see, when we submit, we open the door for blessings that cannot be gained any other way. It's why we do what we do. It's why we're going to Charleston. It's why we're going to Puerto Rico. It's why we're having VBS. It's why we do. Because of the joy that is to come as a result of being submissive and the joy that is right now. And any difficulty that we encounter in the midst of it, it will be worth it, says God's Word. So He says, rejoice now. I ask you to rejoice with me. I want you to know something about rejoicing. That's not an internal kind of private, I'm doing it over here in the corner, I know you can't tell it kind of thing. Who rejoices like that? Like worship. You say, well, I'm kind of worship. No, you're not. Not if I can't tell it most of the time. It's something that's noticeable. And He tells us, God's Word tells you and me right here and now to rejoice in who He is and what He's done. Rejoice. So I'm going to do something the next few minutes that I don't do a whole lot of. I'm going to give you an opportunity to stand up and testify in what you rejoice in. How you're seeing God move. Let's rejoice together in obedience to God's Word. Amen. Who would go first? Yes, sir. Have at it.
Thank you.